Hannah, come on up and let that sweetheart of yours flow right into this place. Father, we stand together. Let's all stand with Hannah and pray for her and this beautiful family. Lord, we just honor those that you honor, Lord, and that's all of us. But Lord, we thank you that you are particularly blessing this family, Lord, and you have blessed us through them. And so this morning, we just release Hannah, Lord, to be the sweet blessing that she is, Lord. Thank you. Lord, we ask for that sweet anointing that's upon her from the top of her head to the tips of her toes, to sustain her, and the joy of the Lord to be her strength, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I started this series-ish thing a few months ago, back in December, January I spoke, and March I spoke. So pull your memories back a few months, and we're going to see if we can remember a few things that we've learned or spoke about. Who is here for the day that we shared about the cultural differences of the Eastern and the Western cultures, the hot versus cold climate? Awesome. There was a few people that actually remember that. Thank you. That's good. We're good. It's hard to remember sometimes. But yes, maybe you can share, Judith, pick on you. Share one thing that you maybe learned or stood out to you at that time.
Well, the whole fact of that we have the different mentalities, hot culture, cold culture, you highlighted it for us, and it's like, wow, it was so in your face. But when I think of people who come from South America, they are so open and joyous and full of life, whereas those of us who come from more northern climes, I know myself, I'm very insular and very quiet. I like community, but I'm not as outgoing as you were encouraging us to be. And it was very challenging and very eye-opening, and I think it was really good and timely because it helped me a lot.
Oh, that's cool. Thank you. That's good to hear.
What stood out to me was when I read the Bible and it says you, I think me individually, but you were saying no, he means you corporately. And that was a big thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Man, you guys are remembering stuff. Anybody else remember something?
I think I remember that in the warm communities, they tend to think more of family and relying and supporting each other, whereas we tend to go off on our own and try and figure it out.
That's a good point. So for those of you that weren't there, I've been on the mission field for many years, and I happen to marry a warm culture climate guy over there, Leo. Woohoo! I grew up, obviously, where a lot of you have grown up in Ottawa. It's the two worlds colliding, and we have learned a lot over that. We've been married almost 7 years, and it's been a journey. And also having lived overseas in many different cultures and climates, and learning how people are is just so different than how we grew up. But the most important point of this whole thing is reading the context of the New Testament. The context is actually a hot culture climate context. So just like Barb and Judith were saying, the context of the scripture, especially the New Testament, when we read things like you are a temple of the living God, it's actually always, almost always plural. And it's not just like, oh, I can take care of myself, I'm going to take care of my own body, I'm the temple. It's actually a plural movement where the body is responsible for each other to become the temple of the living God. And so we went through that, and community is such an important, and just like Chuck was sharing about the body of Christ today, it's so timely, because and this whole unity movement within Ottawa and hopefully the world of, we have to get past ourselves, because that's not the gospel. The gospel is not my gospel. It's our gospel. The kingdom is not my kingdom. It's his kingdom first, and then it's our kingdom that we take care of and that we grow together. So that is just so integral to the gospel, is just the us. And that's why it's so amazing to also see that there's been more signups for the us, you know, taking care of our church building next week, next Saturday, which is awesome. You guys are signing up. In the context of the hot culture and of the Bible, all possessions, we were all responsible for all the things in the village, in the home, the family. Everything is owned by everybody. There's not just my shampoo is written with my shampoo, or my bowl of rice. Leo's got some funny stories of living in community within the youth with a mission. It was a Fijian and a Samoan, he's the Samoan, and then two white guys from America or something. One Canadian, one American, right? And the two, these guys, like the Western ones were always like putting their little tags, name tags on everything. And are you coming to speak? Yeah. You're going to say the story? Or what?
Thank you. Amen. God is good. And all the time. And every day. Oh. And God is great. And every day. I'm going to share that story. We came from the culture like we like to share everything. When I get there, the first time I get, when I cook, if I know I have people inside the house, like we stay together, I cook for everybody, not just for myself. So I share the food with the guy from Canada. And so then the next day, I saw this guy making his food. I thought maybe he's going to share with us, with me and my friend from Fiji. He didn't. He just ate his food and put back the rest. Say, oh, so we don't bother anything. But my friend from Fiji, he was so hungry. He went, ate his food. Eat his food and put it back. And the guy came. Leo, do you know who eat my food? I told him, you know who? Say, I don't know who. It's Micah. And then he asked me, why did he eat my food? We always cooking for you guys, but he never share your food for us. Like, so that's why I come eat, because I want you to know. No, you have to share the food for me and my friend. So it's just the different culture. Like, that guy is always him. But for me, I don't mind it. So I'm trying to share my culture with this, but sometimes they don't get it. So I have to repeat that every time I cook. He still do the same thing. He cook his own food, he eat by himself, and forget about me and my friend, no? Like, so I told him, like, it's just a different culture, man. And then, like, we only use one shampoo, me and my friend. Like, we share everything with him. Until one guy from Canada, and he started to, oh, man, you guys share, like, what do you, one shampoo? And one say, oh, yeah, don't worry, man. And, like, because sometimes we sleep in the living room, in one bed, we sleep there. Like, and they say, hey, it's not okay to do that. Say, man, back home, in this floor, be seven of us sleeping together. And then in one blanket, seven of us. I told him, he was like, oh, man, I don't know. It's just like we, Alexi say, like our culture, us, we like to give it. No, we like to give to people. Like my heart is, I like to share. No, I want to bless people with my culture. It doesn't mean like you guys, the culture is like, we all have different culture, you know, different things people have. So, but it's all for Jesus. Amen.
This particular part of the culture, though, I do believe is kingdom culture. And I think that we need to learn. There's parts of their culture that they need to learn from us. But this particular one of community and a village is something that we need to learn and to embrace. And there's another little story about something like that. I just want to brag on Leo. At his workplace, there's a lot of non-Christians, a lot of non-believers. And so Leo's being a light there just by being himself, just by being who he is and Jesus in him. He was sharing with me that one of the guys had brought some food and get burned? The food got burned in the microwave and he lost like all the food. Anyways, and Leo was looking around and no one like offered to help him or share with him anything that they had. And Leo was looking and waiting, and no one shared. And so he said, here, have my food. Like, here, have my food. And then the same guy, Leo had forget your lunch or something a little while later. No one shared. But this one guy, he remembered when Leo shared with him. So he shared with Leo, and he gave him all his meat, like, from his lunch, which is, like, a big deal. Because they're hungry, you know, they're working hard. So anyways, it's just really cool, something like something small like that. But sharing is caring, and sharing is really powerful. This is a quote. This is not my quote, but I keep wanting to hammering it home. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. We just have to. We have to. It is the gospel. It is that important that we have to do this together. Last time, we also did a bit of a brainstorm session, and that's as far as we got. But we brainstormed what are some important ingredients and list out some things that we had written. You know, time. Time is important as community. We are so busy in our culture, and we're so busy, and we forget that we need to slow down and take the time to be with one another. So time, vulnerability. It's really hard for us to be vulnerable in this culture because we're afraid of what people think, and we're just so afraid of letting others in. Honesty, openness, that's so important. Fun is important. The depth, going deep, not just surface level. How the weather has been nice this week. I always go to that one. And then I'm like, oh, that was so shallow. Oh, the weather was so sunny yesterday. Now, go deeper. commitment to transformation with one another, to commit to encourage each other to change, to be more like Christ, and to be willing to have others call things out in you to look more like Christ. Service. Thank you for signing up for Saturday, because that's like this is our building. We all are part of the ownership of this building, and we need to take care of it. And so that's amazing that you guys are signing up for that. Participation. This is a big one. Participating in things, in the potlucks, opening your home for dinners. You know, it's all important. And humility. There's so many different things. Being humble. Anyway, so we're going to Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47, which is cool because last week they ended up speaking out of Acts 2 as well. It's a great chapter. So I'm going to read it. We just listen. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is they, as in all the church that has been now become the church at the time, the new church. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the koinonia. So who has heard of this term? It's kind of a popular term. Yeah, a few people have heard of koinonia. It means fellowship, but we're going to break it down a little bit. So it says in your Bible, it would probably say teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, much like half of the world today that are still doing this. They still are living like this because it is their culture. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. This is really sounding like, this is exactly like the hot culture climate right now, like a lot of it. And they have something that we're missing because this is biblical. This is something that we should be doing. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, just like the benevolence fund today. Good job, everybody, for giving. It's important to take care of each other. And day by day, I love that one. It's daily. Day by day, attended the temple together and broke bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Wow. So salvation happens when koinonia is happening because it is God's heart. It is, he wants us to take care of one another. And people need to be taken care of. You know, you saw through COVID that, like, the isolation, the amount of depression, anxiety, everything that came out of that, because people are not meant to do life alone. We weren't created to be alone. We were created to be with each other and be in community. So koinonia is a Greek word, and it means, I love these are all action words. Partnership. It takes you. Like, to have a partner, you need two people, right? One person can't be doing everything. That's not partnership. Contributory help. I said that wrong. Contributory help. Again, contribution. That takes action on us, our part. Participation. We have to actually actively do something, such as pull some weeds next Saturday. Woo! Or clean some dishes after a luncheon. Or help in the sound booth. Good job, guys. Or vacuum after we've had a luncheon. You know, there's things that we can be doing. Sharing in common. So when someone is in need, we share, even out of our own need. Giving is hard, but I just want to say also, disclaimer, West Ottawa is one of the most generous churches I've ever been a part of. So thank you. And this is really for the choir, because you guys know generosity is, you guys are so good at generosity. I will say I've been on the receiving end of so many of your generous hearts, so thank you so much. It's not like everyone's doing terribly. That's not true. It's just an encouragement to go higher and do more. Communion, a fellowship in the Spirit. So that is what koinonia is. If we go back, so they devoted themselves, not just half-heartedly, occasionally, once in a while, doing koinonia, but it's a devotional thing. What does devotion mean when you think of devoted? Totally focused on, wholehearted, faithful, not just at one time, it's a continuous faithful thing. That's awesome. Devotion. Commitment. Yes, faithfulness, commitment. Those are all important. Want to go a little bit more into that one.
Well, yeah, I worship the Lord because I'm devoted to him. And he loves me and is devoted to me. So it's a closed loop. We worship.
Devotion. It's big. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. Also to the teaching. That's important. We need to be teaching and hearing and listening and learning and growing and fellowshipping. And I love breaking of bread. Let's eat together. Communion together. But also, let's break bread. Let's make lasagna and eat it together, you know? Or taro, burgers, meat. Let's eat it together. Leo has been he teaches me so much about giving. I'm always bothering him because I'm like, but what about our money? What about this? And he always says, money comes and money goes, but we just need to be faithful with what we have or don't have, you know? Give out of what we don't have because God will always meet us there. Yeah. So we're together and had all things in common. Yeah. Wow. Just awesome. So it's very active. You cannot passively be part of a church. You can't be passively part of a community. It doesn't work. And it's not real. It's almost like it's like a counterfeit. It's just you have the illusion of maybe because you come on a Sunday morning, I'm part of a church. But it's not real unless this is happening, fellowship, communion. So Acts 4, just two chapters later, almost repeats the whole thing, but I'll read it again. Now, the full number of all those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things, again, that belonged to him. This is Bible. This is the church. This is kingdom. That belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Testimonies. I forgot to highlight testimonies. Testimonies. Woo! I love that you called out some testimonies this morning. That was important. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. I just realized I can read it from here. I don't have to turn around. Where was it? Oh, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Whew, powerful. Think about that for a second. We've heard this. We know this. But think about it deeply. You sold a field, and usually in our entitled mindset, that money belongs to me. But it doesn't. Our resources don't belong to us. I love this. This is for, don't judge me, Google AI. But I thought it was so good. Be what has it may. The church engages in koinonia after the coming of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the agent of unity and shared experience, fostering a sense of belonging and shared purpose among believers, as seen in the early church's practice of sharing possessions and living in unity. Isn't that insightful? The Holy Spirit is the agent of unity. And so after the Holy Spirit came in Acts 1 and 2, then instantly went into this powerful unity of one heart, one mind, not just one heart and mind, but one, all resources, everything. It flowed into every aspect of their life. And the Holy Spirit is in us. So we can bypass our cultural upbringing because of the Holy Spirit in us. And this can be lived out. Even though looking at Acts 2, those two scriptures, it seems almost impossible in this setting. Especially because we looked at some hindrances. And one of them that came up a few months ago when I spoke was location. That's a hard one, because in this day and age, we've located ourselves quite far. Sometimes it's a far drive to our church, or et cetera, et cetera. Or in my case, like, I don't have a vehicle most days, so it's really hard to actually do things. So there are challenges, but God can work through them and out of them and in spite of them as we give ourselves to Him. Carpooling, yes. What effect did, or busing, anything, what effect did true koinonia have on those who were watching them and were not yet believers in Christ? So there's a hint here from verse 47. Can someone look up John 13, 35? John 13, 35, number 47. Oh, and the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. So can someone read John 13, 35? Tell me if you got it. Raise a hand.
By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples.
Oh, maybe it starts with 34, sorry. 34 and 35.
Okay. A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another.
Mm. Yes. So the direct outcome of koinonia is salvation for those that are around. That's pretty cool. So we've been talking about evangelism and going to learn about personal evangelism. One of the main components of evangelism is this kind of mindset of just being like generous and giving and loving. And yeah, it is powerful. We moved onto our street a year and a half ago, and Leo went, first thing he did once the snow finally lifted, he went and he brought our barbecue, or he found a barbecue actually off the street, and then he brought it in, and it was, don't worry, someone was throwing it in the garbage, but anyways, he brought it in and put it right in front of the house. Who has their barbecue in the backyard? Most people. Does anyone have it in the front of the house? Yes, Anamika, that's awesome. So he brought it to the front. Anyways, it's been a very cool tool to have the barbecue out in the front, because it often means that as people are passing by, they smell the smell, and then Leo goes, come on over for a hamburger or a hot dog. And so all our neighbors have been coming over. Like, he was doing it almost every other day at one point during the summer. And great, great outreach, great ministry to just share our resources, because people are not used to that. They're like, oh, do I need to bring? No, just come, just eat, just come and enjoy, come and hang out, and grab a chair. We've got like 15 lawn chairs or something in our garage. We just put them out. And it's been amazing to share our resources to bless those around us. And it's developing an amazing relationship. Okay, before we get to discussion, I want to share some funny pictures. You know, like, this was before memes were a thing, but now it's kind of like some memes of just like images of the different cultures. And when we think, we have to remember that the culture of the New Testament as we're reading it is the red ones. So, lifestyle, independent versus dependent. At a party. I love this one. Noise level inside a restaurant. Well, depend. If you're at a bar in the night and everyone's drunk, you know, it'll be loud, but typically. Because everyone's part of every conversation. That's really what it is. Okay, attitude toward punctuality. This is just a funny one. It doesn't have anything to do with anything, but how to stand in a line. There's another funny one. Oh, this is really reflect on that one. I think they've got a really good concept of the Jesus is King, Jesus is Lord. Oh, the tall one. Okay, so this is like the chief, the one on the right, the chief of the tribe, yeah. So I think they have a really good understanding of, like I just said, the King, the Lordship of Christ. Whereas on our side, there's a boss, who we still have entitlements, we still have rights, we still have all these things. But the chief, like Leo really comes from a village, a tribe that has chiefs. So he really understands that concept of you do what the chief says. Like you, obedience, like it's ingrained. If someone up higher, like in Fiji, I'm not sure if about Samoa. When I went to Fiji on a missions trip, we were told in the villages that if the chief or someone who was older, even just an elderly person, was in the room, you automatically go a little lower than them. So if they're sitting, you actually have to sit if they're sitting. Like you can't cross above them. You usually go behind and you sort of crawl because it's a showing of honor. Yeah. Similar, like you don't put yourself above the one who has authority in the room.
Usually back home, we're not allowed to walk in front of people. we have a word to say when we walk in front. When we walk in front, we have to say tulo. Excuse me, tulo. And then, like, you don't walk like this in front of people when you sit in the house. So you had to go down like this and say tulo, tulo, tulo. That's like we're showing respect to our guests and to people that are coming up.
Same if people are lining up, because usually there's no table, so they're lining up eating on the side of the house. You have to find a little crevice to walk behind them through the wall and them, because you can't walk in front of them while they're eating, because it's such a disrespectful. But yes, so that's a little bit more about that. Yeah, there's also some tricky parts with our human nature within this as well. But it's just a little of a comparison just with pictures of when we read the Bible with our assumed context. And we need to remember that that's not the context that there was being written there. So I would actually like to do a little bit of 6 minutes. If you can get in little groups and do to some discussions, I think it would be really nice to foster a bit of community within just having discussion with each other. So you can have like 3 people, 4 people, however many. You can have 10 if you want. And I'd love to discuss these questions. If you only get through one, that's okay. But how does the word koinonia, fellowship, participation, all that things, how does it make you feel? What's an ingredient of community that you personally struggle with? What's an ingredient that you feel you do well? And this was the list because I had a list, but I don't have it. But pick an ingredient and share how you will apply it this week. I like that one. Go ahead. It's life. It's humans. It's a flow. It's learning and stumbling and getting up again. And does anyone have anything they want to share from the discussion or from what they've taken out of this time? Oh, Vlad's got some.
Leo brought me to the point earlier that I should learn to cook.
Way to bless people. It's true, cooking. Anyone else? Yes.
One of the things that we are going to practice this week is when somebody comes to our mind, we're not just going to avoid it. We're not just going to put on the shelf, but we're going to actually act upon it and call that person. I was just sharing about, I was crying out to the Lord the other day, and I was I was doing my dishes, and I have a lot of physical things going on right now, and I just said, Lord, is there anybody that would just pray with me? And about 2 hours later, Stacy, she goes to this church, and she called me, and she prayed with me, and then after she said, you know what, Joanne, I don't do this very often, and I thought, praise God.
Answered. That's amazing. Using the body, that's amazing, yes. Bob, you're pointing at him?
I think there's several different things from this that brought it up. I was thinking that the northern culture, it's because they had to survive. If they didn't have food and they didn't have shelter, they'd be dead. And so that's how we've become closed, I think. Whereas if it's sunny and you can pick fruit off the tree and stuff like that, it's a whole different perspective. And so I think that all of us make up the culture. And the Hebrews actually are more the family culture. It was all of them together, and they've always been that way, and that's how they've survived, is because they're all one group. And I think coming into the church, I think we come in as a family. It says the Lord will put those that are alone in family. And I believe that the church is a family, and that you see a need and you see somebody there, and as a church you try to fulfill or meet the need that the people are around you. And each personality is, some are quiet, some are more forward or whatever, and you need all of them to encourage and be. And I think once you put everybody together, you see a picture of Christ. And it's Him that does it all, but we each individually have something to contribute.
How southern cultures are way more expressive. Just experiencing a church service in Kenya, we felt like greenhorns there, Canadians, because they were dancing throughout the service, and we were like, oh, wow, okay, we have something to learn.
I just wanted to say that it's true what you were saying about the Bible written in the you, like in the plural. In the Jewish way, it's true. Like, even that they're not saved, you look at Jewish communities, and we know that, you know what, they take care of their own. They'll always find a job, or they'll find a van, or they'll find a person, or they'll find a resource. We were just talking about the fact that when I was living in Montreal, I lived in a condominium in a big building with all kinds of people around me, and now I'm living out here in the country in the middle of the forest. I couldn't imagine going back there. Like, I really liked the privacy. I liked not having anybody in close proximity, and I can't imagine going back to that. You know, sometimes it's like when somebody shows up at your place and it's like, can I stay here or whatever, you know, I'm sort of fine with it. My wife is like, what? I need at least 2 days, 3 days to clean the whole house from top to bottom. But we had Alan Baker from His Word for His People out here, and he calls me up. He says, Charlie, you know, I'm supposed to go home tomorrow, but the Lord's really put it on my heart that I have to spend another week here. I have to spend it at your place. And I'm like, I'm thinking, okay, but I'm just thinking in the back of my mind, what is Sue going to say, you know? So I call up Sue and I say, well, Alan wants to come and stay with us. When? Today. What? And it's like, when we're faced with that kind of thing, we sort of look at it like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do, right? But I think, you know, what I told Sue, and she came around, I said, what we need to do is we need to pray, and we need to ask the Lord, what would you have us do? Right? And as soon as we did that, we knew that the right thing was to bring Alan and say, sure, you could stay. And it turned out to be so much fun to have him for a week. I mean, it was just a barrel of laughs, and we got a lot of evangelism done, and it was a great week. But yeah, definitely, it's a thing to overcome, and we can only be enabled in the Spirit to do it. But we got to look out for each other in the body of Christ, and we don't have to bear the load alone either, and we don't have to enable people either. We have to be discerning, but we have to take care of one another. We are responsible for each other. And I'll just finish with this. A friend of mine and I, who's probably my best friend, Doug, we made a pact with each other when we were like 13 or 14 years old, that no matter what happens in life, we will always have an open door to each other. We'll always have an open door. We never had to use that, although we've stayed with each other over the years, but we always made a pact that if one of us was really in need and of a meal and a bed and a place to go, that we would always have our door open to each other. And I got to tell you that just going through life knowing that, okay, has been a lot. So if we're like that with each other in the body, where we say to each other, no matter what, you will never be alone. I won't be alone in helping you either. The whole body will be there. But we are there for each other. We are there for each other.
In the southern communities, you know, we talk about, we think of more village, you know, the closeness. Is it the same in the cities? Like, because cities tend to create either community or isolation, right? And so in the southern communities, for those of you who live in the south, what is it like in your cities? Do you still have that closeness and that relationship building and that neighborly help one another? Because I grew up in Saskatchewan, and with the farming community out there, they were always helping each other. If, you know, and so even though there was distance, but so in the farming community, they help out each other. But I find that in the cities, it's a hit and miss, yeah. You know? Yeah. So I don't know. Does anybody have a response? Ooh.
Cities versus farm. Oh, yeah. We got a few. Okay, I'll come to you after, Kenny.
I just wanted to say that I grew up in an Acadian community. We just go back in the summers mainly. I was born there, and lived in Northern Ontario. But it was very much like what you described, the southern culture. People just popped in, and when I moved to Ottawa, it was. I remember a young woman saying, "Oh, I would never drop in on anyone." I thought, ooh, I better be careful. But, you know, and I really miss that. It was wonderful. I loved it. I know how, you know, Leo must really kind of miss what he's, yeah, yeah. So we do have these pockets in Canada too. And maybe it's a country thing too, because it was country. We were more in the country, mm-hmm. Country people, yeah, village people.
Yeah. It's interesting, because we have said that location can be a hindrance, but when you think of the country, they are actually quite spread out, but then there's still that camaraderie, so there's no excuse. Anyways.
All right. Hi, everyone. So, yeah, that's a very smart question. Thanks for asking. In the city, no, it doesn't work that way. So I'm a person who's raised in a village. My wife, she's raised in a city. Yeah, so the cultural differences are huge, yes. Yes. In our place, we live as a joint family system, so everyone works together, build together, do all the stuff. And the amount of discipline and the honor that we give to our elders is quite different than cities. I don't like cities. I know.
Cities are hard, yeah. They're very lonely. Cities can be very lonely, yeah. Which is weird, because they're all close together. Why? So
When I grew up in Winnipeg, across the street, we had a Portuguese family move in. So warm culture in a cold Canadian city. And it blew our minds how they had two sons who went off and they got married. And it blew our minds how they worked together. It's not that we didn't want to work together. It's just, you know, in I think it was within 10 years, they had three houses bought and paid off. Because everyone worked to pay off the parents' house. Then the one son moved out. They bought and paid off his house. All the money went into that. And then the third one. It's like, holy moly, they got three houses in 10 years. It's very interesting, that whole family working together.
I have a comment and a confession. I used to spend a lot of time at my grandmother's place up in Muskoka. It was a small town. And, you know, people had kids and big families and stuff. And, you know, people always used to drop by. But you went. And it was a lived-in house. It wasn't neat and tidy. And I'm not the best housekeeper. I'm not a neat freak. And
you used to be, and then you met me.
Well, and so it used to be, oh yeah, come on over. And now it's like, yeah. I have to clean the house before someone can come over, so I don't want people just dropping in. But I used to like it, because people would come to visit. They didn't come to inspect your house and make nasty comments.
So just drop in to help her.
Yes, my house too. Just come by. I've had that actually a few times. Like, Stacy's come over. Stacy's been so great with community. She's awesome. She's just popped over, and I'm like, yes. She texts me, and I didn't get the text, and she shows up the door, and I'm like, this is what I live for. Just surprise me. Come. Let's hang out, because I can't really go anywhere. So that's great. Naveen understands that one, right? Just show up at my house, please. So this is good. This is good. Good discussion, good community, good talking. Thanks for joining in and being part of the conversation. Oh, Heather has something. One last word.
I once worked with a man. He was Christian too, from, I think it was Ghana. And he talked to his mother and he said he was lonesome. And his mother couldn't believe it, because he lived in a townhouse. And there were all these neighbors. And that just wouldn't happen. And well, even another point, the way they took care of each other, if you had an aunt, you didn't dare call her aunt, because they all took care of all the children. It was another mother.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that came up in our group too, is taking a village to raise a family. And why are young moms, I think about this, but young moms are struggling in astronomical rates of depression and anxiety. Postpartum depression has just shot right up, because we weren't meant to do that, to raise tiny children alone. Like, it was the whole village. You didn't know where your kids were half the time, because they're out with the aunties or the grandmas or the uncles or fishing or whatever, learning how to swim as a baby. So that's all I've got for now. Thank you.